Heavenly Father, we've just sung that your word is food for famished ones, that it's freedom for the slave, and that it's riches for the needy soul. And so as we look at this bit of the Bible, we ask that you would come and speak to us today and show us Christ through the preaching of your word. And we ask this in his name. Amen. I wonder, have a think. Have you ever walked in on a conversation, two people talking to one another, and they didn't realize that you were there? Maybe you go into the front room and mummy and daddy are there talking about the summer holiday and all the things you're going to do. Or maybe you walk past your boss in the corridor as she's on the phone, as she's discussing a new bit of work that she's trying to bring in to the office. Well, in Psalm 110, it's just like that. It's like we've walked in on a conversation, and it's a really special conversation. It's a conversation between God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus, his Son. I wonder if you noticed in verse, well, just before, in fact, in the title, this is a psalm by David, by King David, and he says in verse 1, the Lord, in funny capital letters, said to my Lord, in normal little letters. And when he says the Lord in those funny capital letters, he's talking about God, our Heavenly Father. And when he says Lord in the little letters, he's talking about Jesus. And this conversation, it's one that God wants us to hear. When you normally walk in on a conversation, the people stop talking, don't they? But in this conversation, Jesus and God, they keep talking. And in this conversation, we learn three things about Jesus. And Jesus being like these three things, three people, in fact, should make us want to say, Jesus, you're amazing! And Jesus being like these three people should help us to trust him more. Now, in a minute, Josh is going to come out. He's going to do some dressing up to help us understand what's going on. So if any of the children want to come back up the front to get a better view of Josh in some really good costumes, you're really welcome to do that. Bring an adult with you if you want to. They might want to bring their copy of the psalm. So come and grab a seat up the front if you want to come and see. And I'm going to invite Josh to come out in our first costume. Great. Come and sit down as Josh comes out. You there, Josh? Brilliant. Okay, now have a look. Josh has got a really fancy-looking cape on. He's got a shiny crown. And if you look over here, he's got a special chair. Who do we think Josh is dressed up as? Can anyone help me? A king! That's right! The first thing this psalm tells us about Jesus is that he is the king who is in charge. Now, if you've got your bit of paper, let me read verse 1 again. The Lord said to my Lord, sit here at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. God the Father, let me pull this out. He says to Jesus, sit down. And this chair that Jesus is sitting on, it's a bit like... Can't get the props these days. It's a bit like sitting at your headmaster's chair. If your headmaster said, come into my office and sit at my chair, you go, really? Because that's the chair that means you're in charge. Jesus is sitting in the chair that's in charge. And he's so much in charge. The psalm tells us that one day God will put Jesus' enemies, the people who don't like him, under his feet.
Dave.
Hey, Brad. You okay?
I don't like the king.
You don't like the king?
I don't like him at all.
Oh.
I don't like him.
Well, sit down. In fact, kneel down. Down. Brad is being one of the king's enemies. Brad doesn't like the king. And the psalm says that The king will sit down and his enemies will become a footstool for his feet. Now, I need to ask you a question. You need to think really hard. Who's in charge? The king or the king's enemies? Who thinks the king?
King.
The king. Who thinks Brad? Not even Brad thinks Brad's in charge. And you know what that makes me want to say? It makes me want to say, Jesus, you're amazing. Let me read verse 2 of our psalm. It says, from Zion, the Lord, God the Heavenly Father, will extend the king's royal power. Rule over your enemies, he says. Now, Zion is the king's capital city. And from his capital, God says, you will rule over the whole world, even if your enemies don't like it. But you know what? The king's people, they are different. Verse 3 says, on the day you fight your enemies, your people will volunteer. You see what it's saying? Jesus' people, the king's people, will do what he says because they know he's in charge. They trust that his way is the best way. Jesus is the king who rules, who is in charge. And one day he'll rule over people whether they like it or not. And today he rules over his people who are happy to do what he says. They know he's a good king. So when you look around at the world and it makes you sad because you see places when Jesus isn't in charge, when you look at Egypt, as we were praying about earlier, and his people aren't able to meet together, remember that one day he will rule over everyone and everywhere. And if you are one of his people, you can trust that what he says to do is good, and you can do it. Jesus is the king who is in charge. Thanks, guys. We'll make the king have a costume change. Brad is going to go and take a seat, and I'm going to move the chair out of the way while we have a change. Now, remember, the king had a crown, and the king had a special robe. This next person, it's a bit harder to guess. Someone we don't see so much. So he's got a special hat called a turban. He's putting a beard on. We'll come to that in a moment. He's got, what's this, his fancy robe. And another thing that we'll come to in a moment. Now, this is someone we don't have today. This is someone who was around in Old Testament times. And he worked in a place called the temple. Have a think. Can anyone think of someone who would have worked in a temple? A priest. The Lowe family is on fire this morning. That's right. This is a priest from Old Testament times. And the priest's job, well, they had lots of jobs, but one of their jobs was to save people when they sinned against God. They were a bit like the superheroes of the Old Testament. That's why he's got this amazing cape. I don't think they actually wore capes, but you know, you get the idea. Now, the priests, what did they do? They saved people when they sinned against God. But there was a problem. All the priests in Old Testament times, they kept dying. They kept dying. And if your superhero dies, well, that's really bad news because he can't save you anymore. But this priest is a special kind of priest. He's a really, well, let me read verse 4 and you can see it for yourselves. This is what God the Father says to Jesus. He says, the Lord made a solemn promise and will not take it back. You will be a priest forever in the priestly order of Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek was a priest. We don't know very much about him. He appears in one chapter right at the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis, and then he disappears again. And we don't hear anything about him until this psalm was written 1,000 years later. He's so mysterious that in the New Testament, we read this about him. Some words coming up on the screen. There is no record of Melchizedek's father or mother or any of his ancestors. No record of his birth or of his death. He remained a priest forever. This priest lives forever. That's why he's got a really big beard, because he's really, really old. Psalm 110, it tells us that Jesus is a priest like Melchizedek, a priest who lives forever because he rose from the dead. Here's the priest that we need. Here's another bit from the New Testament book of Hebrews. It says, Jesus lives on forever. And so he is able now and always to save those who come to God through him. Jesus, he can save us forever. So he will always make sure that we will get to heaven. And that makes me want to say, Jesus, you're amazing. And it means that we can all trust Jesus to save us. We can trust him when we walk away from God, because he will bring us back. He'll save us. He's the priest who lives forever. Now, one more costume change. I'll let Josh get out of that really hot outfit on a really hot day. And we've got one more. Now, this one is a bit easier to get. He's got a breastplate to protect him. He's got a snazzy helmet. Nice gold bits. And he's got a sword. Who's this? Someone from this side. Who do we think this is? Anyone over here? Anyone over here? No one over here. A Roman soldier. That's right. A Roman soldier. In fact, any soldier will do. Now, this is the last thing that the psalm tells us about Jesus. It tells us that he is the soldier who wins his battles. I'm going to read some more verses about Jesus. Verses 5, 6, and 7. The Lord is at your right side. When he becomes angry, he will defeat kings. He will pass judgment on the nations and fill the battlefield with corpses. He will defeat kings all over the earth. The king will drink from the stream by the road, and strengthened will stand victorious. Now, when you first read those verses, I don't know about you, Jesus doesn't sound particularly nice, does he? And you might think, well, I don't want Jesus to be like that. But these verses, they are actually very good news. Because they tell us that one day Jesus will make the world perfect again. And all that is wrong in the world, all the things that stand against King Jesus, will be defeated. They'll be gone completely. Brad, come and help us again. So these verses, they tell us that Jesus will win the battle, I don't want to get hit, against evil. Jesus will win. Evil will be no more. A ninja Roman soldier. You don't see many of them in church on a Sunday morning. Jesus, he will also win the battle against illness. No one will ever be sick again. This bit of the Bible, it tells us that Jesus will win the battle against lies. There'll only be true things in the world. Whoa, he really doesn't like lies. He'll win the battle against famine. No one will ever be hungry ever again. He'll win the battle. Against our sin. All the things we do to make God sad will be no more. And then lastly, he'll win the battle against death. Death will be no more. Thanks, Brad. Jesus is the soldier who wins his battles. And do you know what that makes him want to say? It makes him want to say, Jesus, you're amazing. And it makes me want to trust him too. Because do you ever have days when you don't feel very strong? Do you ever have days when you feel weak and fragile? I have days like that. Sometimes it's because I'm ill. Sometimes it's because of my sin. Sometimes it's because of other people who don't love Jesus. Sometimes I feel weak and fragile. Maybe you feel like that too. But I know a soldier who wins his battles. I know Jesus, and so I can trust him to help me, to protect me. I know that's the best thing to do. I love Psalm 110. It's a psalm that we're listening in on, a conversation between God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus. And it tells us all about who Jesus is. He's the king who's in charge. He's the superhero priest who can save his people because he lives forever. And he's the soldier who wins his battle. And it makes me want to say, Jesus, you're amazing. And it makes me want to trust him more. In a moment, I'm going to say a prayer, but why don't we say thank you to Josh and to Brad by giving them a clap before I do that. Great. And let's pray together. Why don't you put your hands together and close your eyes? I find that helps me to pray, to concentrate. Well done. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we want to say that you are amazing. Thank you that you are the king who is in charge. Thank you that you are the priest who lives forever. And so you can save us now and always. Thank you that you are the soldier who wins his battles, who will make the world right again. Please help us to trust you, to trust that your ways are best, to trust that you can bring us back to God, and to trust that you will defeat your enemies. Amen.